Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. Little buddy, it's great to have you here in the Mad Radio Studios, Solidarity Realty Studios, Madison, Wisconsin.
Pretty great to be here with you. We got Nate working the board. Luker, thank you for helping out. Good to see you and the whole team here at Civic Media, State Street in Madison. What a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
We make it such.
Especially when
it's
we're
our
here.
Presence that make it gorgeous. Dom, today, I want to tell you about what I heard them talking about on Righty Whitey Talk Radio.
Oh, please do.
The outrage of the right.
What? What is it?
The Wisconsin Supreme Court. These actions, you know what they're doing? They're being very strategic. The liberals, apparently, they had a plan, Dom.
Got a plan.
They're stripping power from the chief. The chief that stripped power from Shirley Abrahamson, the prior chief, right? But now it's Ziegler. And Ziegler, she's seen all sorts of malfeasance during her time on the Supreme Court.
She knows malfeasance.
But nothing worse than these liberals taking some of her power away.
Oh.
Because currently the chief sets the entire agenda for the court.
And her
and
term
she's part
is,
of the minority.
And her term. Well, of course, she was elected chief while the conservatives were still in charge. Well, that's not the case anymore, but she's still in the term, right? So that's why the liberal branch of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going through this committee kind of thing to perhaps wrestle away some of the power of the current chief justice. You know, if she has any problem with that, maybe she could call up Tony Evers and they could discuss, you know, the and lament the fact that perhaps, you know, the power that they once had is no
They've
longer
been
there.
Hamstrung, lame duck.
I mean, seems like there's some of that going around.
You know where she's done most of her whining lately, Dom?
Well, right-wing talk radio,
yes,
of course. Yeah,
that's where she
yeah.
goes running to. And she's got an advocate in Dan O'Donnell.
Your buddy.
He's not my buddy.
He's your buddy, man.
Nobody's friend, Dan O'Donnell. Dan is out there singing the praises. Well, I was proud of the strategery of the left wing of the court. He's out there GD-ing them, you know, shaking a fist on them. Because how dare this is an administrative coup of sorts.
Oh,
now.
Is that what it is?
I'm not sure if that was precisely his words. I don't want to mischaracterize
well, of
it.
Of course, of course.
But it's an unconstitutional power grab at minimum.
I highly doubt it.
Well, the Cap Times editorial, they've got a little editorial, and they call it the shameful hypocrisy of Annette Ziegler.
If they only felt shame.
I don't think she does. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice, for now, Annette Ziegler is very upset.
Very, very, very so super upset.
With the new majority of justices on the state's highest court, the majority made up of justices Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and Janet Protasiewicz, was elected by the voters of Wisconsin with the charge to repair the reputation of a Supreme Court by making it more open, efficient, and responsible. And to that end, the moderate and liberal justices have removed a court administrator who was politically aligned with Ziegler and initiated long overdue reforms designed to make court procedures more transparent and inclusive. Now, Dom Ziegler, as she's described here, a right-wing judicial activist, why, she's furious.
Well, anything to do with transparency and inclusivity that drives Megan nuts.
Dominic, the court's majority claims Ziegler has engaged in unauthorized action that is flawed procedurally, legally, and on its merits. These are quotes. She calls the majority reckless. And also a quote, dysfunctional.
No, don't dysfunctional. I mean, you can, okay, reckless, you can say, but I mean, come on. You want to talk about dysfunction? Didn't one of the Republicans try to choke out one of the other justices?
Well, the editorial get there.
Oh, okay, all right.
My colleague's unprecedented, dangerous conduct is the raw exercise of overreaching power. It is shameful. Shameful, Tom.
Shame. Shame.
Seriously, what the majority of justices did after the swearing-in of Justice Protasiewicz last week wasn't anything more than what the people of Wisconsin signaled they wanted when they overwhelmingly elected Protasiewicz after a campaign in which she promised to restore dignity to the state's judicial branch. The new majority has moved to make administrative meetings open to the public.
No!
And formed a committee to study when justices should recuse themselves from cases.
No, I'll recuse myself when I decide to recuse myself.
Well, if the millions came, you know, more than a year ago.
Well, I mean.
I'm talking about Prosser, but we'll get to him. It is also determined that instead of having an all-powerful Chief Justice, in this case Ziegler, making decisions behind closed doors, a committee on which Ziegler will sit with fellow justices should review the court's budget and key appointments. Those are not exactly controversial reforms. So why is Ziegler so angry, Dom? Why is she accusing four rogue members of the court of engaging in illegitimate activity? And doing so on Righty Whitey Talk Radio.
The Cap Times editorial Crudy goes on. The answer to that question is simple enough. For more than a decade, the court was controlled by a cabal of conservatives, including Ziegler, who did as they pleased. They rejected accountability, even when the court's reputation was being trashed by their allies. The legacy of Ziegler and the conservative majority that has been displaced by the voters is long and shameful.
Well, let us
count the ways. Back in the early 2010s, when former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser melted down and began to verbally and, in one instance, physically attack justices he disagreed with, the right-wing justices that were aligned with Prosser, including Ziegler, refused to hold the controversial justice to account.
Boy, just choked her out a little. She had it coming.
Barely. The politicization of the court's administrative and disciplinary process did much to undermine the credibility of what was once the most respected state Supreme Courts in the United States. Prosser's behavior made for some of the most shocking headlines in the court's history, especially after he called former Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson a bitch and threatened to destroy her. Even the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which had once enthusiastically praised Prosser, warned in 2011 that the justice apparently could use some anger management classes. And noted he had turned the court towards embarrassing squabbling.
We never do that.
No. Critics suggested that Prosser was obsessed with defending the major legislative initiatives of his longtime Republican ally, then Governor Scott Walker, particularly the governor's controversial attacks on organized labor, which were a political priority of the Republican Party and its campaign donors. When the implementation of Walker's anti-union project was placed on hold because it was enacted in a session that clearly violated Wisconsin's open meeting law, Prosser became more and more belligerent. Furious with Justice Ann Walsh Bradley,
the good Bradley,
who respected the rule of law and sought to follow proper legal procedures, Prosser confronted the senior jurist in her chambers. He would later acknowledge that he placed his hands on Bradley's neck. He claimed he was not trying to choke her.
Just fit her for a choker chain?
Yeah,
she's about that bigger, round her neck.
Wow. Cap Times editorial continues, but an investigation of the incidents by the Wisconsin Judicial Commission determined that Prosser had willfully violated the Supreme Court rule requiring judges to be dignified and courteous to people with whom the judge deals in an official capacity. The court rule requiring judges to promote the satisfactory administration of justice by cooperating with each other, and the court rule requiring that judges personally observe high standards of conduct. Well, I can observe the high standards of conduct. Doesn't mean they will embrace high standards of conduct. The Judicial Commission, which was chaired by an attorney who was well-regarded by Republicans and Democrats, recommended that the court find Presser guilty of three ethics violations for the June 13, 2011 incident. But Presser avoided any accountability when three of his conservative political allies, Gableman, Rosenstock, and Ziegler, recused themselves in the case, assuring there would be no quorum to act on the Judicial Commission's recommendation. Later, Ziegler joined with the other right-wing justices to out Abrahamson as Chief Justice. There was never any serious suggestion that Abrahamson had done anything wrong. In fact, Abrahamson, the hardest-working, most intellectually adept Chief Justice in the court's history, was an internationally respected jurist whose legal and administrative skills had led her to consideration for appointment to the United States Supreme Court. Over her many years on Wisconsin's highest court, Abrahamson was regularly reelected with support from a long list of judges and district attorneys, Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, because of her deep commitment to the rule of law and to maintaining the stature of the state Supreme Court. Yet, Ziegler and her allies shoved Abrahamson aside in what really was a raw exercise of overreaching power. Now, Ziegler claims that the court's new majority has gone rogue! That's absurd. That's dishonest. And coming from Ziegler, that's wildly hypocritical. It is Ziegler who went rogue years ago. The new majority is simply seeking to restore a measure of balance and dignity to a court that desperately needs to turn a new page. The Cap Times editorial, Annette Ziegler, the shameful hypocrisy of Annette Ziegler.
What do you think of this strategery of the left, Dom?
I'm down with it. Absolutely. Do it. Keep doing it.
But you know right-wing talk radio is going to whine for mercy, Dom. How dare they break or change administrative code with their majority?
Administrative code changes? Huh. I think I've heard that before.
It's an overreaching power grab, Dom. It is shameful, in the words of the newly hamstrung
Anything
Annette Ziegler.
That provides for transparency and perhaps... allows what the majority of the non-conservative, non-mega jurists to conduct business in an open and transparent and inclusive way. Yeah, that's problematic for mega.
Dan, we got a fine guest joining us a little later in this hour. He's Up North News's Pat Kreitlow, former Democratic state senator, our colleague in broadcast right here at Civic Media. Come back with us. I suspect the liberals on the court are sorry, not sorry, man. More devil's advocates. Nothing to be sorry for. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. Greatest radio show ever. You can be a part. 844-967-2789.
Warning. Listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Just because we and we're back. Around. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the 420 break. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Pat Kreitlow going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We got time for your calls again. 844-967-2789.
You know what the kids love these days? The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Yeah.
But apparently not the policies or candidates of the GOP so much. Dom, Tyler Katzenberger over at the Journal Sentinel reports, at least through the headline, Wisconsin Republicans seek inroads with young voters ahead of the 2024 presidential debate. Seeking inroads. Well, of course, this is all the efforts of Scott Wanker, right?
That is
Scott Walker, my bad.
Yeah, Scott Walker.
The former gubernator.
Executive
of the
director
state
of the Young Americas
Foundation.
No, Young Americas Foundation.
Oh, thanks for the correction.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, our old radio dog buddy, Brian Schimming, practically grew up on a college campus, according to this article. His parents both worked for the University of Wisconsin-Madison and lived on Lathrop Street for 37 years. Oh, by the way, if I hadn't mentioned... We're going to need your recommendations. You are a fair audience. Maybe you, Dom, as well. 844-967-2789. If you're listening to us at work and you've got the boss looking over your shoulder, you can use the shiny new app or the text line at 844 967-2789. But I need your bright ideas. How can we make Wisconsin's Republican Party more appealing to the young kids?
That's a great question.
And we're going to have to use the working assumption they're not planning on changing any of their policy positions.
Wait. But that would, of course, be the number one thing to do, right? Do what you've been doing and then do the opposite. See?
No. There will be no policy or platform changes. We just need to put a better spin on it.
Oh,
or a message. Or
just make it harder for them to vote.
Maybe.
Huh, okay.
Now, so anyways, we talked about Shimon growing up on a college campus, apparently his teachers were educators. He less so in favor of the education.
His parents were educators.
His parents were. Yeah. He hates education. He's the Republican Party chair, Dom. Decades later, Shimon is the chairman of the Wisconsin GOP, a role that traditionally would not take him to one of the most well-known blocks of college students on a famously liberal-leaning campus. But Lathrop Street is where Shimon grew up. And it's where he knows he needs to grow the party's voter base. Good luck with that. Here's a quote. I've traveled the state a lot. I've been a student body president before. That was a long time ago, Brian. I'm Brian Shimming. I'm Rush Chairman. I hope I get your vote.
Hey, nice to meet you. You guys playing cards?
Flounder, I think his frat name was Flounder. This is an issue, and I'm close to...
I mean, come on. I mean, if you're going to reach out, this is how you're going to connect. Well, hey, man, I was a student body president before.
Yeah, but that was in the 1800s, Brian. Maybe 1970s?
Oh, wow.
This is an issue that I'm close to and pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah.
Today, it's Lathrop Street, affectionately named College Houses. Here are some of the houses, Dom. The Barn, the Mustard Mansion, to list a few. They're best known as the places where you drink copious amounts of beer on Badger game days, Shimming's old house included. They're also turning out in copious numbers for Democrats, who have won 15 of the last 18 statewide races, with over 90% support in UW-Madison, student wards in some cases. And Tom, that might be a problem for Republicans who are less than 3 weeks out from their first presidential primary debate in Milwaukee. It's a metaphorical starting line for what's expected to be a turbulent, pivotal 2024 campaign season in Wisconsin. And as far as youth voters go, Shimming's party's behind. I'd say way behind.
Way behind.
I mean, Dom, what was it? 4 months ago, a dominant and growing block of galvanized college voters in part carried liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz to an 11-point victory and ended 15 years of conservative dominance on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Somebody tell Ziegler she's on the losing side. Long lines at UW-Eau Claire went viral on social media, and a number of voting wards honored near college campuses saw students cast ballots near midterm levels. That's big. With Protasiewicz now in office following an investiture ceremony last week, the court is primed to hear a flurry of challenges to Republican-backed policies, including Wisconsin's lopsided voting district maps, you know, the gerrymander dom, and the state's contentious abortion ban. And it's bad news for Republicans that could get even worse. It will, without a strategy shift before 2024. They're not going to change strategy. And Shimming knows it. He toured colleges statewide in April with a similar message. The GOP hopes for success in an upcoming election for president and the U.S. Senate. I'll start on campus. Dom, we need suggestions. How can they make the Republicans better? Perhaps we can take callers before we finish this. We got lots of stuff going on.
Just a little bit more here. Obviously, some issues. But let's not forget, as this article points out, Cleta Mitchell, board member of the Milwaukee-based Bradley Foundation, told GOP donors during a meeting in Tennessee that Wisconsin's college voters were a big problem. Mitchell participated in former Trump's failed attempt to overturn the 2020 election loss. And again, her quote, "What are these college campus locations? I mean, what is this young people effort that they do? They basically put polling places next to the student dorm, so they just have to roll out of bed, vote, and go back to bed." Good luck with that. 844-967-2789. We can squeeze one in.
Someone help us with Tom from Grafton.
Tom, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. I've got the answer. It's called money. Just take a picture of the vote. $20. before a Republican. How's that?
I don't know if that's enough money to entice the young people, man. $20? What's that going to buy? They'll barely buy you dinner at Chipotle.
Well, you're looking for an idea.
I like it. I like it, Tom. Maybe more than 20, but yes. Option number one for the Republicans, if you're not going to change your beliefs and you're not going to change your strategy, you're not going to change who you are, what you vote for, or what influences you, perhaps dig into your pockets and pay for votes. There's Tom's suggestion from Grafton.
A texter from WAUK says the GOP needs to throw more keggers on Mifflin Street. What would you serve? They'd serve Bud Light. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Pat Kreitlow joins us in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studio.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair.
Tom's just shaking his head. Quite disappointed.
Last one to
welcome
show
back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. A whopper of a Wednesday. I always had friends in low places. I just thought that was a hype thing.
Oh, terrible. Terrible crooning.
Now we got Buddy who's joined us live in studio, our colleague in broadcast. He's Pat Kreitlow. He's the host of Up North News on the Civic Media Network across the state. Many, many markets. You should get up early and see if he plays in yours, 6 to 8 a.m. Pat, welcome.
And I get this for walk-up music. Holy cow, I feel like part of the family now.
No, I mean, we don't play country music because we like people, Pat. This is a punishment for folks, but if this is what you want, you're welcome.
Whatever makes an exception.
Did you call this? Did you ask for this music,
I most
Pat?
Certainly did not.
Well, I was going to say, get out.
What's happening? What's going on?
No requests means dealer's choice.
Oh, and I know Luke Mather's name all over it.
I know that Mr. Kreitlow likes himself a little Garth Brooks.
All right.
You know, I've been accused of looking like Garth Brooks, and I did not see that as a compliment.
No, that one would not be.
Pat Kreitlow, you bring us an update from the Milwaukee Brewers. How'd we do?
turns out we won 7-6 on an E6. A throw in the dirt by the Rocky shortstop.
We'll take it, man. A win's a win.
Allows us to get a win after that ugly 10th inning yesterday at the game I was at last night. So, yeah, we'll take it. Still your first place, Milwaukee Brewers.
WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support. And WRCE Richland Center News from the Center are Milwaukee Brewers Network affiliates. And soon, 98Q, Park Falls, Wisconsin. I'm
hey,
not sure soon. If we closed on that yet today.
Soon.
Oh, another place for you to take your new boat.
I was up in Park Falls the other... You know, I was just in your neck of the woods a week ago.
Yes, you were.
The Jordan Love Boat. I'm showing off Love here. Boat. In the, it's a beautiful, crappy little boat.
Yes.
Older than either of those two fine producers in that
probably
room.
Combined.
And certainly more seaworthy than either of them, I'm sure. So
the boat's a vintage 1976 fiberglass hulled.
Hey,
it's a beaut.
Does it hold you? Does it float? Does it hold a cooler? I don't know what else you really need.
Yeah, that's about it.
I even have a designated driver. My son's enjoying driving the boat.
Oh, perfect.
He's not a drinking age. So,
yes.
Man.
You got
me and
this.
My buddies went out there last weekend. He just drove us all around the lake all Saturday night. Best experience of my life.
The good life.
Crudy's proud to announce that Devil's Advocates will be cut by 30 minutes so he can get out of here every day now and get on that boat.
I have been told I must be in this studio, at least for the short run, between 4 and 6 p.m. each and every day.
You make it sound like detention now. Like, oh, he's locked in this
room.
Well,
like a week ago on Monday, I was up in your neck of the woods, up mm-hmm. in Chippewa Falls. I was at the courthouse up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes when Crudy goes on the road with short notice, it gets disruptive to the team. I've been told, don't do that.
Don't do that.
So, anyways, with a little more planning, we'll go on the road. But good. In the short run, Pat, bring us news from Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. What's the happenings?
Oh, my gosh. Well, just personally speaking, we've had a great summer up on Lake Wissota. We were on the pontoon repeatedly with my adult daughters and my grandkids getting up there.
Nice.
And, you know, we saw plenty of people out on the lake, many of whom understand the rules of the road when you're going up and down a river. Others on their water mosquitoes who don't mind doing circles around you and, you know, otherwise causing... you to want to maybe speed up to ramming speed on your pontoon, but you don't do it. You resist the temptation. So everybody,
you're not supposed to do that?
No, you're not supposed to.
That wasn't
to,
in the manual.
So. What is this, Hell's Angels? Hey, just remember, right on right return. That's all you got to remember.
Here's,
there you go.
Here's what I'm a little disappointed, Pat. I'm setting you up. I wanted you to trash talk Derek Van Orden with me, man.
The guy serves
the third district.
Which is Chippewa Falls, which it always gives me the chance to remind people that because I live just outside the city limits, which was done on purpose when I was running against Sean Duffy, I'm still in the 7th District. We're so proud to have Tom Tiffany. It's the city of Chippewa Falls that gets Derek Van Orden. They're so proud to have Derek Van Orden.
You guys are so lucky over there.
Oh, my goodness. What a 1-2 punch. And maybe I shouldn't say punch because I'm thinking Van Orden might have punched one of those.
A little too close to home.
Might have punched one of those pages, you know, after having too much punch in the office or whatever they do with the frat parties there.
Pat, it's a bit of an embarrassment.
A bit.
Oh, a bit.
Will there be an electoral price to pay? This guy's a rookie congressman. Hmm. Kind of came in with a bad reputation, you know, campaign funding his whole insurrectionist trip to D.C.
I mean, who doesn't?
And the taking the handgun on the flight, the return flight back from, I believe it was Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then there was the whole confrontation with the young lady at the library, checking out right. all the books that, you know, might give some gay kid some sense of community.
Heaven forbid.
And now he's got this newest thing, get drunk and, yes. you know, spew profanities at kids at the U.S. Capitol. It's starting to become a norm sort of a thing.
Well, it is the norm.
And like there's a little behavioral pattern.
Every so often he reminds us, you know, who he really is and that he's not what he was portrayed as in his campaign commercials, which I've said repeatedly, they were excellent commercials. He just looks like the guy next door, you know, who rides a motorcycle. He's one of you. His commercials did a good job and he won the election. But now more and more voters are seeing who he really is, not just what he stands for, but the kind of character that he brings when, you know, we trust our young people when we send them to something like a PAGE program out in Washington, D.C., and they get treated, you know, like this from a guy like him. It's got to give voters and constituents a reason to say, is this really the best that we can do? And I think next year people are going to ask that question very seriously.
But Pat, this is the same electorate that embraced Donald Trump, and his campaign motto was something along the lines of F your feelings.
Yes.
I mean, isn't this what they want in their electeds?
It's what a lot of them want. Sure, that's the kind of place that we are now where they can reliably count on, you know, anywhere from 35 to 45% of people feeling that way. But as always, it's that you know 10% in the middle that either can switch their vote or they just say, you know, I still kind of like Derek Van Orden. I kind of like Trump, but I don't like him enough to actually show up and vote on election day. And there's going to be a lot of that next year, I predict as well.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Pat Kreitlow. He is host of Up North News here on the Civic Media Network. Pat's always fun to talk to you, man. The congressman from Madison here, Mark Polkan, has requested of Brian Steil, who apparently has some administrative power, to release perhaps video evidence of this confrontation. And when we talked about it, first came out, it was hard for me to imagine that, you know, that this congressman was not in these kids' faces based on the things he was saying. And further reporting and going through this process of getting this information out appears that he was, to my understanding, basically nosed in nose with underage kids, you know, and swearing at them. I mean, how important do you think it's going to be to get that video out? If we're going to change any sort of mind, it's one thing to hear it reported. It's nothing to see it.
He fancies himself the, you know, the drill sergeant, you know, the Navy SEAL who's going to be talking to the young kids and telling them what's what. And if he could have made them do 20 push-ups right there, he would have done it. I'm sure the thought crossed his mind when he was confused about whether he was in the Capitol or on a military base someplace. The video, of course, would be damning, assuming that it exists and assuming that Brian Steil, you know, does put it out there.
It exists.
And if that's the case, it's going to be, I mean, no smooth advertising of guy next door on a motorcycle can overcome what they see of you after you've maybe been sitting in that garage next to your motorcycle having more than a few barley pops. And how do you get then with the neighbor kid next door? Do you just laugh off something or do you get right in their face? We all have a neighbor like that and we wave politely, but I don't think we're going to vote for him next time.
I certainly hope not.
Just raise the elective age. Do you see this newest? We were talking about how could Republicans possibly, Journal Sentinel's got a little piece today, Brian Schimming featured our radio dog buddy, pushing probably 70, Brian. But Brian's the face of this youth movement, him and Scott Walker. Assuming they're not planning on changing any policies, they're anti-abortion, they're pro-Bible, pro-gun.
Anti-climate.
Anti-climate change. Anti-education, really, on a number of levels. Anti-diversity.
Anti-LGBTQ.
How do you recombobulate, re-spin that,
how make do you
that
seek
more palatable
inroads? How do you get
kids?
Inroads are with the youth vote?
Are you asking me to tell Scott Walker how to do his job when he's already getting paid, what is it, $800,000 to reach the youths? I mean...
But he hasn't convinced the former president to show up at his little debate sponsored by the...
No.
Young Adolf?
Young America's Foundation.
I keep getting that wrong.
The YAF.
Yes.
Yeah. No, look, we're going to talk about this tomorrow morning on Up North News Radio with Joe Zepecki as well about, you know, you can say that you're going to do more outreach, but I believe Joe's going to talk about the difference between signal and noise. And there's a lot of noise that people like Scott Walker like to make and that culture warriors like to make when they're yelling at kids in the library or whatnot. But what's the signal? The signal is the actual voting. And when people have to vote for something, as we just saw in Ohio yesterday, you know, they tend to vote, you know, for their own progressive values or at least their sense of fairness.
Right.
And they're going to look at somebody like a Derek Van Orden and say, I don't know that this guy actually shares my values after all, if this is what he stands for. And remember, that third CD, we think of it as having, you know, just a lot of rural areas and farms and whatnot. There's all kinds of college campuses, 2 and 4 year, that are either in or near there. You know, so even if they're nearby, there's probably young voters who commute into or out of the 3rd Congressional District. And again, you know, Scott Walker's got 800,000 reasons to try to crack that nut. But, you know, he'd have to get that elephant to change its stripes. Boy, you know, there's a metaphor.
Pat, you and I were comparing notes yesterday. You said, or maybe it was earlier today, we're talking about what would success look like? And I said, well, for civic media, we've got 5 radio stations in the third CD. Success would be, let's just say, a change in incumbency.
Right.
That would be success, at least to my metric. There is an effort afoot to get the truth out to the third CD. Pat, do you think our efforts, do you think that radio, talk radio, has been influential in that swing part of the state? And do you think with outlets in Richland Center, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin Rapids, do you think that we are giving whoever the candidate of the left, the only declared so far, Rebecca Cook, I believe a businesswoman from Eau Claire.
Right.
But do you think we give the left team a fair fight?
Oh, without a doubt, because there's a viewpoint there that they know has been out there, but they just have never heard it on the radio. And now they are. And you know as well as I do, the, you know, the new listeners that we're getting, like in the mornings, we had a couple of comments this morning from people, one woman in the Hayward area saying she was so thrilled to finally hear this kind of information on your local radio station. The same thing's going to be said down in the third CD. For reasons involving civic media radio stations, but also to toot my own horn for Up North News and what we've done for the nearly 4 years that we've been putting out newsletter, a website, social media posts, videos. And again, just bringing that perspective that isn't anything radical. It was just completely smothered with the way that radio stations were run previously. So yeah, it is going to make a difference with people, not just people who are already voting progressive, but again, for those folks in the middle who just haven't heard the argument right now for making a change from somebody like Derek Van Orden and maybe making sure that Tammy Baldwin wins a third term in office.
I like how you think, sir.
So, Pat, let me ask you, as we kind of wrap this segment up, and thank you again for joining us, for the efforts of the GOP and the MAGAs to make inroads to the young voters, do you think changing the rules of the game or, you know, raising the voting age, you think those are going to be, you know, You think the youth vote are going to be receptive of those kinds of changes?
Not even close. Just like, again, the people in Ohio saw right through what conservatives were trying to do to rig the game on amending their constitution in order to protect, you know, women's abortion rights. Voters aren't dumb. We know that they're, sadly, they listen to too many political ads. But if they're hearing more messages from people like us and elected officials and such, you know, these are people that understand fairness. And these are people, young people, who hear, wait, you want to make it tougher to vote? I don't think you're my guy or you're my candidate.
Young people, they're listening right now.
The youths, yes.
The youths. All you young people listening to the greatest radio show ever. The second best one around here. Ain't so bad.
I'll take it.
Pat Kratlow, get up early. Up North News. Pat, thanks for coming around, man. Enjoy the barbecue.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Pat.
You bet.
Come back with us. Your phone calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, always great to see our pal Pat Kratlow, especially in the WMDX Solidarity Realty Studios. Thank you, Pat. Don't forget, get up early, Pat Kratlow, 6 to 8 a.m. right here on WMDX each and every morning.
6 a.m., man.
Up North News.
I don't know. That's tough.
Every morning.
And he's still
every
up. Weekday he was morning. Here, man. It's a long day, Pat. Thank you for making a little time for us today, man.
Let's go to a barbecue. He'll be fine. He's going to drink a
get
couple
a full belly,
ones.
And he'll be sleeping soon.
If he had gone to the Brewer game last yeah. night, he might be a little more bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
844-967-2789. The question of the day. How does MAGA, how do the GOP, how do they make inroads to the youth vote? We referenced an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Towards the end of it, they throw out some Walker quotes. I want to get this out there and then get your take as well. 844-96-PARTY.
More Scott Walker, please.
That's what the youth. That's what the youth want. More Scott Walker. Remember, he sent a tweet out following Protest Day, which is victory last April, and said that liberals were, quote, indoctrinating young people and turning them out to vote. He also said the voting age should match the drinking age, currently set at 21. Walker clarified, sure he did.
Walked it back.
At a Milwaukee press conference luncheon yesterday, he said he had no interest in changing the voting age, and he wants the drinking age lowered to 18. I don't ever remember that. How do you feel about legal weed, Scott Walker?
Oh, I'm against that.
Republicans, indeed, instead need to do a, quote, better job at reaching young voters at earlier ages, he added. Again, executive director, president, whatever. Of
like
the
in vitro.
Young America's Foundation. Here's what Walker said yesterday. We're not afraid of young people voting, but we're afraid because young people are voting and never hearing the other side of the equation.
You got right-wing talk radio all around the state. 81 stations to work with, Scott. You never use them frequently.
Never hear in the other side of the equation. So I'm okay. All right. What's the other side of the equation? What are some of the issues? Man-made climate change. What's the other side of that equation? Mass shootings. Tell me. What's the
Second
other side?
Amendment.
What's the other side of that equation? Abortion rights. Abortion rights for women.
God.
You're right.
You're against God.
God. When God is your answer to everything, you have no answer to anything.
Well, they take the gun manufacturer money as well. That's why the Second Amendment's always the answer to doing any sort of sensible gun control. Dom, it does say in the subheadline, GOP policies don't match youth priorities, at least according to Democrats. Voting age debates aside, Republicans still hold stances on student loans, reproductive rights, and housing that are, let's call them, incredibly unpopular with young voters, said Whitman Botari, communications director for UW-Madison College Democrats. Sizable majorities of young voters support Democratic policies such as universal health insurance and government spending to curb poverty and climate change, according to a 2023 Harvard Youth poll. Now, Dom, here's the part that's going to be hard for Wanker. Less than half, 42% of young Americans who grew up in conservative households call themselves Republicans. So 58% of the children of conservatives don't consider themselves conservative. That's a shrinking demographic.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, they've been there. You know what I mean? A lot of atheists used to be, you know, in religious homes.
Dom, just 28% of young women trust the U.S. Supreme Court. 28%. The Wisconsin Supreme Court race says a lot about that. Kuehler said abortion was on the ballot, and that's an issue young voters are really passionate about. We saw that in an increase in turnout. Schimming's GOP has ground to make up, but like Republican student leaders at UW-Madison, he thinks economic arguments will attract young voters in 2024. Sorry, it's hard for me to say that aloud. He also sees the upcoming August debate and the 2024 convention as a serious investment in Wisconsin that could pay dividends when young voters head to the polls next November. Let's tell the truth. This was always about trolling the Dems. The Dems didn't have their convention in Milwaukee because of the COVID pandemic. That's the only reason they came here, that Nashville wouldn't have them.
Nobody else wants that crappy job.
Here's the final quote. Pretty soon here, you're going to be bumping into Republican candidates for president at the Quick Trip. I think that's advantage Republican. I saw Joe Biden at the ice cream parlor on Pearl Street in La Crosse.
It does that just because they're even here doesn't matter. I mean, are the kids going to the convention? You know, shimming Republicans. And let's talk about economic. What if you're a young adult, if you're in your teens or even in your early to mid 20s, let's call it. What are the economic priorities for you? Most likely, you know, getting paid a little bit more. Perhaps you're down with taxing the rich. I mean, you're not a millionaire when you're 25 years old, most likely. It's not going to affect you. If the millionaires who had to pay a little more taxes like they used to do back in the day. Let's get to the phones, 844-967-2789.
Let's go with Cameron from Nina. Cameron, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Cameron.
Hey, yeah, I mean, if I bumped into anyone at Quick Trip and they started talking to me, I would be really concerned. I would kind of have a
see you next time.
What's that?
That's what they always say. They say see you next time, right? And there's no real good response to it. You just stare back like, I'll see you next time. Maybe if you're working.
Well, go ahead, Cameron. What's your point?
No, well, that could be its own topic for half an hour easily. It drives me nuts. It's the office space culture of, someone has a case of the Mondays, I will fight you. If they want to, I'll give you guys a bonus right here, right? So you guys are asking about
bonus, Cameron.
What can the GOP do?
Yes, sir.
The GOP can do to get more younger voters. I'll throw a spin on it. What can they do to get young Middle Eastern voters?
Well, they hate the Middle Eastern people.
I'll tell you. Oh, I know, but they still need numbers. It has nothing about being genuine. They aren't genuine people in quotations.
Right. Thanks for that reminder, Cameron,
but go ahead. Thank you.
What's going to turn the Middle Easterners out for the Republicans?
If the Republicans remind everyone that the Bible was originally written by people from the Middle East, and then King James made his own version, and that's what we have today.
You take that back. There's only one Lily White Bible, and it was written by Donald Trump.
But he can't tell you about it. He likes all the parts of the Bible, and it's very private to him. But trust him, he's very spiritual. Very religious.
Cameron, thank you for joining us. The rest of you, we got a happier happy hour, and it could be your turn next. 844-967-2789. Carry this topic over.
Absolutely.
How do you make the Republicans more appealing to the young folks? I don't think it's possible. Sugarcoat it?
You know what?
Lipstick on the pigs?
I would pay Scott Walker $8 million a year instead of $800,000 a year. That's what I would do.
And then they'll be 10 times more successful. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're making Scotty Walker money in our minds.